Thanks, Julie. Welcome, everybody. Apologies from my colleague Geyer, that's the way his name is actually pronounced, yep, whose father is having a really serious operation tomorrow and may not make it. We just don't know. We hope for the best. So on behalf of Geyer, this is his presentation, although it is a program that I've been involved with for the last 10 years, so it's not unfamiliar to me at all. And just to give you a little flavor of our group, we have an international group of students in this agroecology master's program who come from a number of different countries. Here's an array of students for the last decade or so. This year we have 23 students from 8 countries. And it's really pretty exciting. It's a neat learning environment as you interact with these folks from different cultures. And we'll show you a little bit of the organization, some of the theory behind what we're doing and why. And the challenge is, how do we help people develop their own capacity to be innovative and responsible agents of change? And we talk about responsible action as being one of the key outputs of this whole process. And then in Geyer's talk here, we're talking mostly about stakeholder involvement with farmers, with people in the food system, people in the community, government folks, nonprofits, private industry folks. How do we involve them in the educational process? A quick overview of the 2-year Master Science program that's been going in Norway now for, I guess, a dozen years, actually. We're really fortunate to have this modular course that runs for 16 weeks in the fall, because you can do a lot of things when the students are there full time. You get away from a lot of the problems of scheduling, you know, everything you try to do that you can't possibly do in a Monday, Wednesday, Friday 9 to 10 lecture. We can do, because we have these folks, and we're interacting as a learning community for a whole about 4 months between middle of August and near Christmas. The second and third semesters are taken either in Norway or Sweden or Denmark. A lot of students go to Copenhagen University. Others go to the Swedish Ag University, to Witzenhausen in Germany, to Lyon in France. They kind of disperse and go all other places and take courses in more discipline-oriented, more classical courses. The thesis is generally semester 4. The best one is the middle one, Julie. That's kind of a good balance. That's all right. Most of the students do a one-semester thesis project, and they do it in lots of places in the world. Some of the more advanced students, those with experience, a lot of confidence and some statistics, we'll do a 2-semester thesis, so half of their program is actually thesis. That's just a general orientation. A lot of social learning goes on. We break up into groups, so there's a lot of practicing of communication, sharing of meaning, sharing of ideas. This looks like the Kolb cycle, which it is, adapted to what we do. Action learning, a good term. With the course in a microcosm, we present starting on the farm in the first couple of weeks. We prepare for an in-depth case visit when students go out and spend a week living in a community, often living on a farm that they're studying. So they're in the field, come back and spend time going through all the stuff they learned in that field experience, go back to the field again for 3 or 4 days to meet again with their clients, clear up any questions that they have, and actually hold seminars with clients to do planning for the future. So summing up and planning action. Finding out what is out there, and then through discussion, through interaction, what does it mean? Then what can we do? So what? What do we do about all this? So early on, we do orientation things like walking the landscape, learning about diversity within our own groups, and then out in the field, participating and going into the farming system. We cover quite a bit on content, concepts, agroecology, and so on. Introduce a number of tools, go out in the field and actually explore, come back, digest this, then go back, meet with farmers, and then finally come up with some recommendations. And we don't come up with a specific recommendation, we call it scenarios. Your goals are these, here are some possible ways that you might want to use to get there. So it's a collaborative process. And we'll talk a little later in another presentation here about open-ended cases, which is a little different from the typical decision case scenario that you're probably familiar with. So there's kind of a shift of focus, we think, from away from the theory and really focusing on the person, on the student. We all hear about, you know, student-focused stuff, and that's what we really try to implement here, where not just competencies, not just the stuff we normally put into classes, but also attitudes. The so what? So why am I learning all this stuff? What am I going to do with it? And we're very interested in the phenomenon, the farm, the community where we're working, the situation out there. And we even call this phenomenology, if you like, going back to Husserl and some German folks that developed this idea. And we're really keen on this whole idea of stakeholders being full participants in the process. For the last 3 years, we've worked with a Ukeluft project in Norway, which is trying to implement their national goal as passed by Parliament of reaching 15% organic food within the next decade or so. And like many national programs, the resources to really make this happen have not been put in place, but we're trying our best, and this is one project that is stimulating communities to try and implement this national goal. Slightly more about it, it's a $7 million project for 2 years. It's actually finished, but some of the communities are now continuing on their own with their own funding, and the communities actually have to match the federal funding from the national government. And the really exciting thing that's happened is that these communities are paying about half the cost of our students in the field, including their lodging and meals. And this is more than just a trivial help to our budget. This really increases the level of responsibility of the students, because now the communities are actually investing in them, and they feel this very strongly. And it also increases the responsibility on the side of the clients and the communities, because they're going to pick up the phone when you call. They're going to say, yes, I'd be happy to meet with you for an hour on such and such a day. So it's been pretty exciting. Here where the project communities are located, 52 of them up and down the country, you'll see where our students were working. So what does it mean to go from, say, a 2% situation of organic food to 15%? There are a lot of forces that are going to slow this, and this whole idea of a force field analysis is one of the tools that students use as well in their communities to look at what's possible. There are a lot of structural forces, of course, that slow the process. There is in place a large-scale food system. Organic is pretty small scale. There are cultural things, limited knowledge, fairly weak tradition for innovation in the food sector. But there are also a lot of forces that are really helping, such as international trends moving that direction, some state support, not enough, and consumer interest. So a lot of these things are happening. We're, of course, trying to overcome, or working with students to overcome these limiting forces and build on those that are supporting. You could ask why 15%. It's not just pulled out of the air. It's similar to all of the Scandinavian countries who have set goals of 15 to 20% in organics. And what kind of organics? Are we looking at Big O here, industrial organic? Are we looking at a bunch of imported food? Well, not really. We're looking at mostly a small-scale, locally based, which is why the project is focusing in the communities where we think things can be done. Why public use of organic food is important? Well, the country has decided agriculture in the organic sector, ecological as it's called there, is small, but aims to become large. And this is not possible using market forces, we don't feel. It's not going to just happen, so the government does have to be involved. And the key statement, I think, is the one that Geyer put in here at the bottom. The market is not really built for activities that externalize costs. Your success in the current economic system is to externalize as many costs as possible. If I can externalize more costs than Drew can and we're competing, I'm going to win. And that's been the case. So this is why government support. So alternative distribution, just doing a few small things is probably not enough. There are the six places where we had teams last year. The ones underlined are where we have teams this year, and they're in the middle of this process right now. I was just in Tolga about 3 weeks ago with our team. The whole idea is to move people out of the classroom into real life, work with farmers, come back, reflect, do some more reading, do some web searches, do a lot of team types of reflection, and figure out what's really going on out there. Here are some of the tasks. We put people in the reality where they try their best to describe the current situation and develop rich pictures of the farms and the communities, one of the tools used. And they also take the goals of the farmers and the goals of the community and establish a future desirable situation. And then the question is, how do you move from one to the other? What are the key issues? What are the limitations? What has to be overcome? And what kinds of strategies could be used to do that? And the students figure out how to do this as best they can with their limited tools. And again, they're coming from many other countries. They have different levels of preparation, but as a team, they work to solve these challenges that they're confronting on the farms. Here's sort of what we do in the first week. We meet the project leader, who's often the agricultural officer in that county, and then we meet other stakeholders in the food system, farmer being one of these key stakeholders. Students interview these folks, gather as much information as possible, get back to them to clear up questions that have arisen. They try to find out what's going on, what are the conditions out there, what are the natural resources, what's the economic base, what's not happening, what's preventing people from reaching their goals, and what are the other forces are going on in the country. They come back to campus, evaluate, develop a rich picture of these activities for several weeks. Then they go back again and sort of fact check, find out, bounce their ideas off of people in the community and say, well, you know, is this really true, what we think we observed last time? And then they have community meetings. We'll see some pictures of those here in a moment. They present their findings, and they facilitate a process with the community, meeting with the community members to talk about these ideas, see if they're on the right track, explore these scenarios they've come up with, and make plans for action. We actually have a nice action event that occurred about 10 days ago in Tolga, one of the places. This is not a bad place to study, by the way, if you're interested in beautiful scenery and quaint cities and fun people and all that. It's a neat place. So we get together, and we get together in the communities in Kvam, which is on the rail line from Oslo over to Bergen on the west coast. That was our student team. Here's a bunch of community leaders in that same workshop. And we do the same thing. We model the same kind of activity by getting together in small groups, depending on how many folks are there. And that way you can get the maximum number of ideas on the table and really talk about them rather than, lecturing to each other like I'm doing now. Another really neat place is up about 3,000 feet and about four and a half hours north of Oslo in the Eastern Valley, Tolga. And this is a place where we've really had an impact already. The students stayed on a dairy farm in a very small community called Hodalen. And this is the ag officer. There's our student team. This is their workshop they had last year. And one of their suggestions was to have a food fair. And they spent a year planning this. And actually on the 1st of October this year, about two, 3 weeks ago, they had a food fair in Tolga, about 500 people there. Some of our current students were there, including a videographer from Nebraska who's a current student who recorded a lot of this stuff. And so they'll be able to use that information, use that video stuff in their future activities. I'll just point out here, this young couple on the right are from Netherlands. And there are, I think, something like 20 Dutch couples, young folks that are up in this area helping to repopulate, sort of reversing the trend of people are moving to the cities. And they're going to be the next generation of Norwegians. Looks like there's maybe one on the way there. So pretty exciting. And one of the things that we emphasize here is that, yes, the university is important. Yes, lectures, stuff on campus are all really important. But also the experience that students bring to this educational community is also important. And we put equal weight on the experiential part of things and what you bring to the table as a student. We think that's pretty important. And you'll see again the Kolb cycle sort of emerging here in one of our iterations at least, going from the real experience to processing that knowledge, finding out what's supporting that, moving on to action, and then cycling on back. Here's a bit overstated critical model of the current system of the university, where we create all the good stuff as researchers. Out there are our clients who are, you know, passing this on, the practitioners, students. And this whole idea of a dissemination space, we call it extension, where teachers and extensionists move this information out. And there's some feedback, of course, through questions. And we could say this is a dominant model up till 15, 20 years ago. And still, in Europe, this is the concept people have about research and extension. We take a different approach to this, and you'll see the Kolb cycle kind of reflected again here. But we look at the university as what it is, what we are, a collection of departments, single disciplines. Then out there in the field are our clients, a series of folks with their own objectives and stakeholder interests. We feel, you could say at least, that agroecology creates this active space for dialogue and communication between these two groups, and that's us and our students. And through these visits, through these projects in the field, we bring these two groups together. We call it dialogue-based communication. It also includes, you know, the natural resources and all. Now, if Geyer were here, he would say, this is the midfield. This is where we come together. I don't like that term very much, but he does. My argument is, obviously, midfield is from soccer, and nobody scores in the midfield. That's where you just kick the ball around a little bit, which is important, too. But, you know, scoring takes place at the end. All the publications over there, all the food produced over here. So we have to come up with a better metaphor, I think, than that. Purposes for starting in the field, we think it helps to learn complex topics and understand complexity. It gives people a lot of enthusiasm when they work with real folks in the field continuously. It connects us, of course, but it also gives them a platform and some experience, so they're not afraid to go out and talk to clients. Through a series of workshops, which are all published, you can look them up if you want on our website, from Norway, but workshops in Ames and Copenhagen, Madrid last year, we came up with several key questions that we think we have to resolve or work with. The question of scientific rigor, what competencies do we really want to help our students attain during this process? How do we further refine this idea of working with stakeholders? Innovation systems thinking, what about us as teachers? What skills do we need to be able to do this and facilitate the process? How do we balance theory and action? And finally, what about all the logistical challenges we face? That's it.